Maybe as I pray this later, you could be asking the Lord to open up your understanding, not because anything that I'm saying is so far beyond you, but we need him to reveal it to us, amen? We need him to meet with us tonight. And then 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 10 and 11 say, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. But the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And again, we want him to meet with us, right? We want him to overwhelm us with his presence. That's what I want tonight. That's what I've been praying. And I hope you all want the same. I think you do. So before we start, let's pray and then we'll get to it. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. I thank you that we can gather here tonight. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the freedom and we don't have to worry about persecution tonight. I know there are others elsewhere that do, Lord. I pray for them. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what you have for us tonight. I pray that you speak to hearts. I pray you would give me the words to say, clear my mind, Lord, calm my nerves. Help me to only say what you would have me to, Lord. I pray that you would cast out all distractions tonight and anything that might get in the way of what you want to accomplish. Lord, needless now, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to talk about fear tonight. And I was thinking about this, and I think it's common in our world today for individuals not to want to seem fearful, right? I think especially among men, maybe, that might be the case. We don't want to appear fearful of anything. We don't want to seem like we're scared or whatever, and women maybe as well. I think about criminals and whatnot, and that's how they live their life. That's how they want to present themselves, so they can accomplish their purposes, so that others will submit to them, and if not, they use violence, and then that brings fear, right? And whether or not they truly don't have fear, they don't want people to think that they do. I think if we're honest, though, we would all say there are things that we're afraid of. We know, like, maybe someone's afraid of spiders, maybe heights, public speaking, snakes, things of that nature, right? We understand the concept of fear, and I think we all have that to some degree. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about fear, but in a spiritual sense, in the spiritual realm. Fear. In the scriptures, we see over and over again this idea of people being afraid. And I have some verses here in Matthew. If you turn to Matthew, chapter 14. Verse 25 through 27 says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And again, we're just looking at some portions of scripture that mention people being afraid. Let's turn two chapters over to Matthew chapter 17. Verse 1, starting in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, and be not afraid. Again, we see fear. We see Christ speaking to them, telling them not to be afraid, right? Let's go over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, and following, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn for the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And then one more portion of scripture in Luke chapter 5. As we get started here. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and we're going to be looking at Peter tonight. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, now speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ here, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And again, we see this, we could go on and on tonight about men being fearful, and it's such a blessing to me that the Lord comforts them, right? The Lord is there when he sees that we're afraid to tell us, be not afraid, fear not, right? And I think about individuals in the Bible who are just like us today, and I was gonna list off a bunch of references about Peter and how we can relate, and Pastor did that on Sunday night, and I was just praising God. I was like, well, I wasn't sure if I'd have time, and he already did that. It's pretty clear that we can all relate to Peter, right? And we all just went through that. So we won't take the time to do that, but let's go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Verse 53. Now this is after they've taken Christ, verse 53, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. He sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. First, let's consider who came to take Jesus. We're familiar with this portion of scripture, but we see here that Judas, one of the 12, one of the disciples, came with them to take the Lord away. This was someone they knew, and I don't know about you, but when someone we know kind of stabs us in the back, that hurts, right? Maybe it causes us to question, what else am I missing? What else might have been going on that I didn't see? So we see Judas came with them. There was also a great multitude that were carrying swords and staves. A great multitude with weapons had come and taken Christ. Part of this group were the chief priests, those who hated Christ and stood against everything that he taught. We see that scribes came with. This term seems to refer to men who were experts on the law. They could answer the difficult questions, right? They knew much. We see this situation. And we also see in John chapter 18. I'm going to turn there. John chapter 18. Verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So it seems to me there were some soldiers of some kind, some Roman soldiers that came and took the Lord. Now, just thinking about the situation, it would be pretty intimidating, wouldn't it? And I'm not equating any man with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I was trying to compare, trying to think of what this might be like in our lives. And I was thinking, what if we were here one Sunday morning and the pastor's preaching, and again, I'm not equating him to the Lord at all, but that's my spiritual leader. And a group of men, that religious men, maybe some cops, some really intelligent men, lawyers came, and they put them in cuffs and took them away. Wouldn't that be pretty intimidating? And I don't think we have to worry about that right now, maybe someday, but I'm just trying to put myself in this situation and thinking how fearful that must have been, or how easy it could have been to get into that temptation to be fearful, right? Now let's consider where they took Jesus back in Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. Verse 54, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself by the fire. We see that they took him to the palace of the high priest. Here we see the chief priests again, and some elders and some scribes, and it might have been some Sanhedrin here. Again, very powerful men, very respected maybe in society, men that we would say were very respected. And to the palace of the high priest, I imagine this big building, kind of untouchable, almost seeming. And they took the Lord there, and Peter followed him right up to that point, right kind of into the lion's den, as you might say, right? I was just thinking, it would have taken some courage to do that, don't you think? To follow them all the way there. Let's continue on in Mark. We're going to skip to verse 66 in Mark 14. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cup crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time, the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. When he thought thereon, he wept bitterly. We see here Peter denying Christ and outright lying about knowing him to these individuals that were asking about him and about the Lord. I would say that fear was behind this response. That's what I see here. In these verses, we see the word denied, and I want you to listen to this as I define this word when I looked it up. To deny is what it means, to deny someone or self, to disregard his own interests or to prove false to himself, to act entirely unlike himself, to reject or refuse, to renounce, not to accept or to refuse something that is offered. But what really got me was to act entirely unlike himself. And we see he denied the Lord. And I'm just thinking, how often do we do this? How often do we refuse to speak up when the Lord is telling us or nudging us to go speak to someone? Or we heard about Mrs. Weaver giving a track. Go give a track to that person, and we don't. And as Christians, we ought to be telling people the gospel. So in that sense, we'd be acting entirely unlike ourselves. What do you mean? As we ought to be behaving. Just some thoughts there. So where does fear come from? Or what can cause fear? Maybe a better question. I think sometimes the first thing we'll look at is ourselves. Now, I want to be clear before we get into it, that no matter what, there's always going to be that temptation to give in to fear, just like any other temptation. We can't necessarily eradicate it, make the temptation go away, but we don't have to give in to it. I want to make that clear. But sometimes what we choose to do can cause fear to come upon us. We can put ourselves in a position where we are overcome with fear. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the Old Testament. Read verse 1, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And it goes on to tell of all the way they would be blessed if they follow the commandments, they obey the commandments of the Lord. Let's skip down to verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, not listen unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So, and then he goes on to tell all the curses, all the bad things that would come upon them if they choose to disobey. And for about 50 verses, I find that interesting. They knew what would happen if they disobeyed God, that there's no reason for them to not know. You see 50 verses of the Lord spelling it out, and we can say the same about ourselves, right? We know what would happen if we disobey the Lord. We have no reason to be surprised. Let's go to verse 65 in this chapter. Verse 65. If they were to disobey God's commandments and choose to disobey and not follow his statutes, we read, and among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, and even thou shalt say, would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. So we see here that choosing to disobey God would bring fear into their lives. We also see this in 1 Samuel. We're gonna look at Saul, and we're familiar with the account of Saul, but we're gonna look at this progression here as we go through 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. Samuel chapter 9. Again, we're familiar with these verses, but it's good for us to go back and look at them. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 19. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee, and on all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamin, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? My family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou to me? We see humility here. He says to Saul, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes, and yet, and also the least of all the families of this tribe? We see Saul's humility here. Go to chapter 10, just one chapter over, verse 21. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Machri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. When they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. So here, Samuel's looking to anoint Saul, bring him, he's going to be their king, and he's hiding, right? You see this humility. He didn't want to be in the front. He didn't want to be up. Not everybody. See, humility. Go to chapter 11. Verse 12. And the people said unto Samuel, Who is he that said, Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men, that we may put them to death. And Saul Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Again, he's the king, he has power. He could have had these men killed, but he chose not to, and I see quite a difference from when his son disobeyed a commandment that he didn't even hear him give when he wanted to kill him, right? But we see humility here. Then things start to change. Go to 1 Samuel 13. A lot of scripture tonight, jumping around. 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. And following says, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. He still had the choice. It makes it seem like he didn't. He had the choice. He disobeyed. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. He was not the man to do that. He was not the man to make the sacrifice, but he chose to anyway. He chose not to obey the Lord's commandment in doing this. And jump over to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. So we see he's told to go conquer these people, kill him, kill everyone, kill even the animals. Go to verse 8, jump down a little bit. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings. And the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Go now. So we see he was given again specific orders, and he did what he thought was best. He did what he wanted to do. I can't tell you all that he was thinking when he did it, but he did not follow the commandment of the Lord. Now let's go to chapter 16. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Trouble, sudden terror, and to terrify. So you see, the Lord left him, and now back in Old Testament times, they weren't indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit would come upon people and enable them to do what they needed to do, and then it would go. But the Spirit doesn't leave us now. We understand that. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. But we see here, the Spirit of God left him, and an evil one came and troubled him. In chapter 18, verse 7, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the same displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And let's go to, so we see here, he's jealous, right? He's envious of David. He's upset, he's angry. Go to verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Jump down to 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, speaking of David, he was afraid of him. Verse 29. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. So we see that Saul's pride, among other sinful tendencies, caused him to be afraid, caused fear to come upon him. And if we go back to chapter 15 here in 1 Samuel, we see it. Verse 17, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. We see you were humble at first, now you're lifted up in pride, you're doing what you wanted. And we see that fear came upon him. God was not with him. Could we say that maybe this was part of Peter's problem? Maybe. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ telling him something's going to take place, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be taken away. He says, no, be it far from thee, Lord. Go to verse 23, just down. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So I find it interesting that Peter rebukes the Lord. And then the Lord goes on to teach about how we must do what the Lord would have us to do and forsake what we want, right? Deny ourselves. Take up your cross and follow me, the Lord said. Go to chapter 26 in Matthew. Chapter 26, verse 31 and following. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Did Peter think, as I pointed out, maybe he knew best? Did he think maybe he would prevail when all of his comrades would forsake and scatter? It appears so. There might have been some pride there. And I think we see the Lord addressing this in John chapter 21. You can turn there. John chapter 21. After his resurrection and he's with his disciples. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, the son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Saith unto him, feed my lambs. Saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Saith unto him, feed my sheep. Saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. I just imagine the Lord saying, do you really love me more than these, Peter? You said you wouldn't deny me. He said, all others may forsake thee, but not me. Seems to me the Lord was addressing maybe some pride in Peter. Lovest thou me more than these, Peter? When we start to think that we know what's best or that we can handle things on our own, we open ourselves up to fear. We won't turn there, but Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a high spirit before a fall. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. From there. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 41, and again we see the Lord, you see he gives the answer to this. Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's interesting, when you look at this account, he actually says to Peter, what, do you not pray with me, Peter, for 1 hour? 1 hour, you couldn't pray with me, Peter? Our flesh is weak. I mentioned at the beginning, we don't like to admit weakness, but we're going to have to. I'm not saying any individual here necessarily maybe is fearful, but we should admit our weaknesses. We need to acknowledge that our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. We might want to do the right thing. We see throughout the Gospels, Peter had the right attitude, I think, in a lot of ways. We kind of point out maybe some negative ones, but he wanted to do the right thing, but his flesh was weak. We also see in the scriptures that the unknown can cause us to be fearful. The temptation of not knowing, the situation of not knowing what's ahead might tempt us to be fearful. Go to Deuteronomy 31. Spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. Thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. Verse 4, and the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon, and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. They were getting ready to go into the promised land. And we see Moses here in verse 6, he first encourages the people. Fear not, the Lord is with you, be courageous. He'll give you the land, go. And then we see him telling their leader, Joshua, fear not, the Lord will give you the land, he's promised it to you, go. I think they probably needed this. You can probably relate, when we're faced with something we're not sure what's going to happen or somewhere we haven't been before, that temptation of fear kicks in pretty quick. So first I see that we can allow fear to creep in when we choose to disobey God, we harbor sin, trust in ourselves, and are faced with new territory. And maybe you've noticed this in your life. You ever noticed these things, that the temptation of fear is there when those things are taking place? We'll look at three groups of what can cause fear to come. The second one is others. We can be fearful of others. Go to 1 Samuel again, chapter 21. Verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So we see here that David was afraid. He's running from Saul. And we see he changed his appearance, right? He acted mad. And doesn't this kind of remind you of what Peter was doing with the people when he was cursing and acting like he didn't know the Lord? We see a different situation, but kind of the same outcome. And I'm not going to turn there. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, we see that Elijah has just, unlike David, he's not running from anyone. He faces the prophets of Baal. He stands, he watches the Lord work a miracle. And then we see fear come upon him when Jezebel sends a letter to him saying, I'm going to kill you like you killed those prophets. Right? You see, fear came over him. We see that he was fearful of Jezebel. So again, that temptation is always going to be there. Whether we're maybe, you know, if we were to go back in 1 Samuel 21, we see that David was lying to the priest. He lied to the priest. He was in sin. He wasn't on a mission for the king. And then he's fearful. But we see, on the other hand, Elijah was doing what the Lord had him to. He was trusting in the Lord, and yet fear came upon him as well. We can be fearful of others. I think Peter's flesh, his face in the unknown, and others around him cause him to fear and deny his Lord and Savior. How often do we allow fear to cause us not to serve the Lord? How often do we allow fear in our lives, others, or just, like I said, the unknown, or our flesh, or what we prefer? How often do we not do what the Lord has to do, or decide I'm not going to serve him in that capacity? Because it's fearful to me, it's unknown to me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll turn there. 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We know that. And honestly, I'm speaking to myself here. I've had this thought. Persecution here really isn't that bad, is it? It's maybe being mocked at the most extreme. Maybe people thinking you're weird. Maybe they avoid you, and that's our persecution. And yet we can allow that to cause us to be fearful. And we deny the Lord. We don't do as he would have us do. Lastly, in the scriptures here, I see that Satan can cause us to fear. And he uses people, of course. But go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Following, it says, O art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Stop here for a second. When we start lifting ourselves up in pride, we better start thinking about things, right? We see that's what Satan's downfall was pride, this ungodly ambition to be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Verse 17, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners, caused the earth to tremble and the kingdoms to shake. Go to Acts chapter 19. Verse 13. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? I don't believe these men were following the Lord. Verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. In Ephesians 6:12, we talk about the armor of God and how we don't battle flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. We won't turn there. We're familiar with that portion of Scripture. But Satan, no doubt, uses men as well, right? If we go to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, verse 2 through 6. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. So we see here, and we know this, that Satan used Judas to accomplish his purposes, right? You can say the same about Jezebel and others as well. I believe that's a fact. Satan uses people to accomplish his purposes. So we have looked at how the flesh, people in this world, and Satan can cause us to be fearful if we allow them to. I believe that the scriptures reveal that all these things to some extent played a part in Peter denying Christ. I think he was fearful of what might happen. He might have been facing death or imprisonment. We don't know what would have happened. But let's look at what the result of Peter's choice was when he chose to deny Christ. We don't know all of the ramifications of this. Again, only God does. But I see two things. We see that multiple people didn't hear about Christ because of Peter's fear. Right? Multiple people. And who knows what would have happened. Again, it's not, and I'm not trying to be too harsh on Peter. I don't know what he was going through. I've never experienced this. But it's not our place to decide, okay, this might happen, so I'm not going to speak about Christ to this person. That's not for us to decide. That's for the Lord to decide. We should trust him. What'll happen, give it to God. Let him be in charge. Amen. But multiple people did not hear of Christ because of this. And I wonder, you know, for us today, what causes us not to witness to people? It's fear on some level, but not like this. I think that Satan can be very subtle in that, oh, they're going to mock you, or they're going to ridicule you, or maybe the Lord's calling you to do something, and, oh, you could never, I mean, Pastor touched on this the other night, oh, you can never do that, that's not your personality, or look at your situation, that's not ideal, you could never do that. You can be real subtle, and also you can be very aggressive, like some of the situations we looked at. I remember one time, I wasn't sure if I was going to mention this or not, but I was at home, I was preparing to go to Tufte, and I was just going over my notes like I always do, making sure the references were correct and whatnot, and I'm there by myself. I wasn't in sin. The Lord never showed me this at all, that I was in sin or anything. No reason for this to happen, and all of a sudden this great fear and panic came over me. And like my mind was just confused, I couldn't focus. And sometimes I think Satan, and I'm real slow to do that, to point the finger at him, but sometimes I think Satan will cause a great fear to come upon us, especially if we're doing the Lord's will. But anyway, we see that people didn't hear of Christ because of his fear. We also see that Peter repented. And we see him preaching boldly. Pastor was mentioning that on Sunday night, and I had some verses as well. Let's just go to Acts chapter 2. We'll just go to verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. We won't read for sake of time the whole passage here. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 says, "Therefore," and this is Peter, he's preaching, this is the end of his message, he's preaching to Jews, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." What happened? He was denying Christ earlier, and now we see him preaching boldly because he repented. He repented. How does this happen? How do we preach boldly? Yes, he repented, but how does, if we were to go back, and let's go back to chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then let's go back to chapter 1 of Acts, verse 7. "And he said unto them," this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We need the Holy Spirit's enabling for us to do this. Yes, Peter repented. He obeyed the Lord. He listened. They were waiting for God to give them power, and they were asking for it, and he did. This power comes from God. Let's go to Luke 22 again. Verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Satan wanted to sift Peter as wheat. He's still looking to do that to Christians today. That's still his goal. That's still his purpose. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So we see that Satan wanted to sift him as wheat, but what? But Christ was praying for him. He was praying that his faith wouldn't fail. This word converted, I mentioned earlier that Peter repented. This word converted in verse 32 means to cause to return or bring back. I don't, again, no idea why the Lord would have me to preach this message, but maybe we could ask ourselves, is there something I need to repent of? Do I need to get back on track somewhere so I can do what the Lord would have me to do? I see a fact in these verses that Christ was not blindsided by Peter's failures. He wasn't blindsided by his failures. He's not blindsided by ours. That doesn't mean we let ourselves off easy and say, well, whatever, the Lord knows. Well, no. It should grieve us when we fail the Lord. But he's not blindsided by him, and he has a way forward for us. Amen. We don't need to be discouraged like Peter. I go fishing. I just give up. I'm done with this. I failed. No. The Lord, as we looked at, is there to help us. And if we give into that fear, that doesn't mean we're cut off from him. We can still turn to him. So what's our part in all of this? What do we do when we are tempted to fear? Because that temptation will come. You know, we have our missions conference coming up soon here. In a couple of weeks, Pastor said, I have been praying, I believe, you've been praying, and I believe the Lord's going to do mighty things with this church. He wants to. He's going to lay things on our hearts that he would have us to do. And fear is going to start to creep in. I don't want to do that. I'm not willing to do that. That's not me. Or what will they think? Or so on and so forth. Maybe just be fearful, right? We're taken with fear. What do we do when that happens? won't take the time to read the whole portion of scripture, but go to 2 Kings. So we see here in this chapter that Sennacherib, king of Syria, is here, and he sends Rabshakeh, and I'm not going to read through it all, but basically what he says, the message he says to Hezekiah is, we do what we want, surrender, we've defeated all these other nations, all these other gods that they worshipped, just surrender, give us what we want, don't listen to Hezekiah, don't do what he wants you to do. And if we go to chapter 2 Kings 18, verse 37, they came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and end of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So we see that Hezekiah, he sought the Lord, he went to the man of God. If we were to go to chapter, and we won't, if we were to go a little further in the chapter 19 towards the end, we see that, again, Sennacherib sends letters to Hezekiah basically saying the same thing. And what does he do? What does Hezekiah do? He goes into the temple, he lays it down before the Lord and brings it to him. He gives it to God. And that's what we do. When the Lord gives us something to do, lays something on our heart to do, and fear creeps in for whatever reason, we give it to God, we give it to him, and we move forward for the Lord. I'll close with this. Matthew chapter 28. The Lord knows us. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, again after his resurrection, right before he leaves his church here on earth. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. For that reason, go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even on the end of the world. Amen. So the Lord starts off by saying, All power is given unto me. Just remember that, right? You've seen my miracles. You've seen what I've done. We know what he's done. We've seen it, right? All power is given unto me. Go, teach. Go tell people the gospel. And just remember, I'm with you always. And that's speaking to his church. That's us. All power is given unto him. We should go, we should preach the gospel, tell people the gospel, surrender if he would have you to preach or whatever the Lord would have you to do, and just trust in him. He'll get us through, he'll bring us through. It's easy for us, and like I mentioned at the beginning, it's easy for us to allow fear to creep in. We're pretty weak creatures, but God isn't. All power is given unto him, like he said. Just surrender, go, and give the gospel to people. If we failed in some area, repent. Bring that to God. And then ask him what he would have you to do next. That's the way forward. Let's pray. Father, thank you for